she basically, at that time, I don't know if many of you had heard, actually in the news around March, April, there was a lot of things on homelessness and that sort of state of affairs on in the media. And there has been, I guess how it was put to me, a mandate put through by the government and whatnot that they're going to try and, you know, end homelessness or really take a good stab at it anyway, financially. So with mandates comes more government financing. And with more government financing, bureaucracy and bureaucrats get involved and they have to follow health inspection rules down to the T. So basically it was told to me back in about April that come September, they will no longer be allowing outside food to come in. So that affects our church on how we have been involved in the seed because it's all outside food that we cook in our kitchens that goes down there. So unfortunately, August 17th, I believe it is, I think it's in the bulletin here, the next seed service, will be our service's last service in the capacity that it is known to us right now. Whether as a church and the elders discuss it or the ladies groups discuss it down the road, if there's another way that we can help them, whether it be financially or in another capacity in the future, that remains to be seen. But August will be our last service there on how we've been doing it up till now. So they have said that this August, they would like to see as many of our congregation that would like to come down, come down. They kind of want to make it sort of a celebration for us. Now, granted, everybody who's been down knows the new facility isn't conducive to having 20 of us in the kitchen preparing our sandwiches or whatever. But there's other areas in the seed when we go down, we can volunteer that night or just be amongst the people or whatnot. But so anybody that would like to go down in addition, I know Diane is going this month and Diana Satchwell is going this month and Corrine Leesk. There's a few regulars that are going down. So if anybody would like to go as our last sort of hurrah, that would be great. And they did tell me that in the future, in the next couple of months, someone from the seed will be joining us in our congregation at some time as well. So thanks very much.
Thank you, Michelle. I'm sure our services will be required in some other capacity at some time in the future, and we'll have another mission to work on as that will come clear to us as time goes on. Do we have any other announcements from the congregation? Thank you.
Just another brief word on that mustard seed thing. I'm not sure if I'm totally correct here, but I believe I am. This trip that we're doing in August, which is the our final one in that capacity, Corrine is going. And I believe Corrine was at the very first visit of the mustard seed. Is that right, Corrine? When was that? 28
years ago.
28 years ago. Thanks. Corrine was there on the very first time, and she's going to be there on the last time in that capacity. So that's pretty neat for Corrine. It's kind of neat and it's kind of sad, and it's a great service that our church and community have given to the mustard seed over the years, and it's very much appreciated down there. And it's a very rewarding evening to see the people. The last time I was down there, the people were so grateful, and they were making some great comments about the soup. "This soup's just like my mother used to make," they would say, or "my grandmother used to make." And it was, there were so many people that are so grateful, and I think the guests down there will miss Cremona Congregational going down there and visiting with them. So to all who've participated in that, and our organisers, thank you. You've done a great job over a lot of years, and a wonderful service for the Lord. Well done. We are going to celebrate birthdays. If anyone has had a birthday in July or prior to July and we missed you, now is your opportunity to come forth and give me all your money. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. We come now before his presence in silence. In Romans chapter 8, we read these words: "The Spirit helps us in our weakness. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. If God is for us, who can be against us?" Amen. I'd like to invite Kathy up, and Janice is going to play for us as we celebrate the approach choruses. Thank you.
Thank you.
thanks to Cathy for those approach choruses. And it's particularly nice to see Janice with us here this morning. And she has with her this handsome young fella here, Carl, who is her fiancé. Whoa, well done. Congratulations. And that's great news, great news. And I guess that's Carl's mum sitting there, is it? Did we get that right? Nice to have you with us as well. God bless you. Let us bow our heads and join together in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, our gracious, our loving Father, we give you thanks, Lord, that you have given to each of us here this day, this wonderful and glorious opportunity, this great and inestimable privilege of being able to come together in your house on this your day. And we thank you, Father, that we can come into this holy sanctuary, that we can rejoice in this rich fellowship where we are immediately surrounded by your grace, by your love, and by the power of your Holy Spirit. And we pray, gracious Father, that by your Spirit, that you will accept the praise that we bring as we seek in this time of worship to lift high the name of Jesus, to bring honor and glory to the name which is above all other names. Gracious Lord, we come in the name of Jesus, and we pray as Jesus taught us to pray, as we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory for ever and ever. Amen.
Our Old Testament reading this morning is from Genesis 32, verses 22 to 31. It's called Wrestling with God. That night Jacob got up, took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 sons and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. After he had sent them across the stream, he sent over all his possessions. When the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip, so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. When the man saw that he... there's something wrong there. Can we go to the next one, Richard? Then the man said, "Let me go, for it is daybreak." But Jacob replied, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." The man asked him, "What is your name?" "Jacob," he answered. Then the man said, "Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with humans and have overcome." Jacob said, "Please tell me your name." But he replied, "Why do you ask my name?" Then he blessed him there. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, "It is because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared." The sun rose above him as he passed Peniel, and he was limping because of his hip. Our responsive reading is from Psalm 17, 1 to 7 and 15. "Hear, O Lord, my righteous plea. Listen to my cry. Give ear to my prayer. It does not rise from deceitful lips." "Though you probe my heart, though you examine me at night and test me, you will find that I have planned no evil. My mouth has not transgressed."
"Though people cry throughout me, I have kept myself from the ways of the violent. Do what your lips have said."
"My steps have held to your paths, my feet have not stumbled." "Show me the wonders of your great love, you who save by your right hand those who take refuge in you from their foes. As for me, I will be vindicated and will see your face. When I awake, I'll be satisfied with seeing your likeness."
Glory to the Father, and to the Son,
for our special music this morning. It's good to have with us once again Nicole Lacey. And Nicole is going to play and sing for us her own composition, which is I'm the One to Blame. Thank you, Nicole.
This is a song I've played for you guys before, but I didn't have the words up last time, so a lot of people didn't understand. But this song is about not feeling good enough to be a Christian, but sticking by God anyway. So if I can get the mic correct.
Dream when your world's been broke. Dare to give even when you're broke. Dare to fight when the fight's been fought. Dare to show everything you've got. I won't give up today, even if I'm to blame. I'm giving up this feeling I'm forever yours. I'll show you every way, and faithful I will stay. Cause I'm the one who, I'm the one to stay by you. Fought the war, it's over. Did the right thing and I'm not scared. Devil's close, I can hear it in my tone. I'm fighting fair, but I feel so alone. I won't give up today, even if I'm to blame. I'm giving up this feeling I'm forever yours. I'll show you every way, and faithful I will stay. Cause I'm the one who, I'm the one to stay by you. To the world, but not to you. And I am humbled, Lord. Though I'm weak and sore, I know my name is shame, but you show me the truth. My name is blame, my name is shame. My name is worthless to the world, but not to you.
Thanks to Nikki. Not only does she write songs, but she sits at the piano and she plays and sings at the same time. I can't do two things at once. You know, it's one of these things. I can't do it. Thank you, Nikki. Beautiful. We appreciate it. Your gifts for the work of God in this church and throughout the world will now be received. Thank you. Gracious Lord, Heavenly Father, we are ever thankful for your goodness. And so we come to you now, Lord, and we bring these our gifts. They are but humble tokens of our gratitude. But we ask you, Father, to accept these gifts and to accept the givers, for we dedicate them all to the extension of your kingdom here on earth. For Jesus' sake, amen. Thank you. Any of the children that are leaving at this time, this is the time for them to go. We will miss their musical contributions. We stand and we sing to the glory of God. The hymn number 87, May Jesus Christ Be Praised. We sing verses 1, 3, 4, and 6. Or if you follow the screen, you should be all right.
Praise, a light that can grant.
I think it was 2 or 3 weeks ago when Kathy and Richard were away on holiday. They were enjoying themselves on the island, and at that particular time we didn't have the use of our audiovisual system, and it's amazing the difference this makes. You know, when the words are up on the screen and our heads are up and back and we're singing out. But on that particular Sunday, our heads were down and we were singing into the hymn books, and Kathy wasn't here. And you know, it makes a difference when Kathy's up here and she leads the singing. You know, she's leading the singing, she's got a beautiful voice, and she drags us all along with her, and our heads are up, we're singing. And what a difference it makes. And Kathy, we are not taking you for granted ever. We appreciate you. And I in particular appreciate Richard as well, because he's driving the mechanics to power the screen here this morning. Thank you, Richard. We come to our time of prayer. We have so much to be thankful for. We live in a beautiful world. We live in a safe world. We live in a safe part of the world. We never seem to suffer from the extremes of anything, do we? You know, we get a bit of hail once in a while and we think it's terrible and disastrous, and yet we look around and see how other places suffer from the elements, from disasters, from all kinds of things going on. We have a cold day in the winter and it's minus 20 something. We think, whoa, it's freezing, and there's other places way, way worse. We are so richly blessed. We are so richly blessed. And so we thank God for our blessings, and we come together once again in prayer. We bow our heads and we join together. Let us pray. Almighty God, our Father in heaven, creator of heaven and creator of the earth, our Lord and our God, we worship you as the one who has given to us life. And we ask you, Father, that you help us to live this life that you have given to us. Help us to live it, Lord, to the full. We thank you, Father, for giving to us a church family in which we can grow, and a people with whom we can mature. We praise you, Heavenly Father, for accepting us just as we are, and for struggling with us to change us into what you know that we can become. We ask you once again, Father, to help us to live our lives to your glory. At home, may we be the friends and the neighbors that you want us to be, that we may spread the warmth of your love to all whom we meet. And at our places of work, Father, may we be reliable and honest in what we do. May we be a friend to those who find things and life difficult. And may we always be aware of our responsibilities as you have created us, Lord, to be your presence here in the world. In everything we do, Lord, help us never to take delight where there is hurt to others. Help us not to choose those things that we may one day regret. Lord God, may we be strong in character, loving in our relationships, forgiving when others fail us, and may we be loyal. May our lives be useful to others and fulfilling for ourselves. And may we serve you well, Father. And we pray now, Lord, at this time, for those who are sick, for those who are lonely, for those who are distressed. We think of the people, Lord, who live in those parts of the world, such as Africa, where they struggle with famine, where they struggle with hunger, where they struggle with drought. And we think especially at this time, Lord, of those people in Africa. Our hearts go out to them, Father. We see their pictures on the television screens, and we just, our hearts are wrenched. We are thankful, Father, that there are those who are going into these parts of the world and they are bringing help and strength and relief to these people. And we pray, Lord, that you will just richly bless these people. We pray, Lord, for all people who give what they can. For we know, Lord, that you will take these gifts and that you will bless them and that you will multiply them. And as you fed 5,000, Lord, that you will feed the hungry. And you have placed upon our hearts, Lord, some people who we care about, people who we pray about, people who we are just concerned about. And right now, Father, in the silence of our hearts, we whisper their names before your throne of grace. And we know, gracious Father, that you will not only hear these names that we whisper, but that you will reach down, Lord, that you will touch their lives, and that you will bless them. We pray in silence. We pray, Holy Father, for wholeness and healing in the lives of these our friends for whom we pray at this time. And we pray for ourselves, Lord. Help us to bring life and love and joy and hope to those all around us, and especially those, Lord, who live in despair. In all things and in everything, be with us, Lord. We ask you to forgive us our sins. Help us to widen our knowledge, to deepen our love, and to strengthen our resolve in serving you, Almighty Father. In all things, Father, we pray in the name of Jesus that thy will be done. And we ask you, Lord, to hear our prayers, and in your love and in your wisdom, to answer those prayers in thy time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We listen now to the word of the Lord.
Morning. I have my own right size version of the Bible here. This is too small, and that's too far away. The gospel this morning is taken from Matthew 14, verses 13 to 21. Jesus feeds the 5,000. When Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. As evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place, and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food." Jesus replied, They need not go away. You give them something to eat. "We have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish," they answered. "Bring them here to me," he said. And he directed the people to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he took, and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate was about 5,000 men, besides women and children. The epistle is taken from Romans 9, verses 1 to 5, Paul's anguish over Israel. "I speak the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience confirms it through the Holy Spirit. I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart, for I could wish that myself were cursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my people, those of my own race, the people of Israel. Theirs is the adoption to sonship. There's the divine glory, the covenants, the receiving of the law, the temple worship, and the promises. Theirs are the patriarchs, and from them is traced the human history of the Messiah, ancestry of the Messiah, who is God over all, forever praised. Amen."
Thanks to Janet for those readings from the scriptures. Thank you. And now we stand again and we sing to the glory of God, the hymn number 94, verses 1 to 4, of "How Sweet the Name of Jesus Sounds."
How sweet the name.
Would you pray with me, please? And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be perfectly acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Charles Swindoll tells a story about a 9-year-old boy named Danny. And Danny came bursting out of Sunday school one Sunday morning. He ran into the sanctuary and he's frantically trying to locate either his mum or his dad. He grabbed hold of his dad's leg and he yelled, "Dad, man, that story about Moses and all those people crossing the Red Sea, wow," he says, "it was great." So his father looked down on him and he asked Danny to tell him about it. "Well," said Danny, "the Israelites got out of Egypt, but Pharaoh and his army chased after them. So the Jews ran as fast as they could until they got to the Red Sea. But the Egyptian army was getting closer and closer. So Moses got on his walkie-talkie and he told the Israeli Air Force to bomb the Egyptians. While that was happening, the Israeli Navy built a pontoon bridge so that the people could cross over it. And you know what, Dad? They made it." His father was somewhat taken aback by this, and he said to his son, "Is that the way that they taught you the story?" And Danny replied, "Well, no, not exactly. But if I told it to you the way that they told it to us, you would never believe it, Dad. Never believe it." And so, with childlike innocence, this little guy identified with our sophisticated adult world, where cool skepticism and disbelief reign supreme. It is more acceptable in this day and age where you've got so much disbelief around, that it reigns supreme. So it's more acceptable to operate in the black and white world of facts and, of course, to leave no room at all for the miraculous. Today's scripture reading that Janet read to us is that of the feeding of the 5,000. One of the best known miracles. And of course, the modern skeptical way of looking at this particular miracle, like many of the others, is to ask the question, did it really happen? Did it really happen? Many people have attempted to find different explanations for this miracle. But no matter what particular explanation people may come up with, it did happen. It's a fact of history. It happened. And the number that were fed is way in excess of the 5,000. We say the feeding of the 5,000, but the writers tell us quite clearly that there were 5,000 men plus women and children. So we're probably looking more like 10,000. If you had all the women and all the kids in, it could be even more. Pastor Walter Harms says that in his early years, he worked for a very upscale catering company. And he says on one occasion his company served 3,000 people at an 11 p.m. meal. He says the meal, now stand by here, you'll probably get your tummy rumbling this. The meal included shrimp, sliced turkey, fish fillet, rich meat spaghetti, salad, bread and brownies. I'm listening to the rumbles. He said it was a monumental task. It took a full week to prepare. There were 1,000 pounds of shrimp. There were 70 turkeys. There were 35 roasters of spaghetti. 700 pounds of fish fillet. There were dozens of 3 foot by 5 foot sheets of brownies. And he says there were many large baby bathtubs full of salad. Now then, did you see anything there that you fancied? The waiter will be around shortly. Can you just imagine serving such a meal to 3,000 people? 3,000 people. Now imagine feeding 5,000 people. Double that number. 10,000 people. And it had to be done right away. They did not have a week or however length of time to prepare. But we're getting a little bit ahead of the story here. The scriptures tell us that a crowd had followed Jesus out into the wilderness, and evening was approaching. And getting concerned, the disciples came to Jesus and said, "Master, this is a remote place, and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so that they can go into the villages and buy themselves some food." Jesus replied, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. You feed them." Put yourself into the place of the disciples. Can we just imagine the looks on their faces as they looked out at this sea of around about 10,000 people sitting there, standing there, and Jesus is saying, "You feed them," on the spot. Wow. I'm reading the story here. "We have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, they answered. Jesus had the people sit down in groups. He then took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. He looked up towards heaven and he gave thanks and he broke the loaves. And he gave them to the disciples and the disciples gave them to the people. And they all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate was about 5,000 men, besides women and children." Wow! This is an amazing and a miraculous story. And this story starts out by Jesus looking out at these crowds, and it tells us he had compassion on them and he healed the sick. And you know, this is what Jesus has done throughout his ministry, throughout the Gospels. He shows compassion to the least and to the lowliest. And Jesus came with one purpose and one desire: to seek and to save the lost, whoever they may be. And when Jesus gazed out at that crowd, he knew. He knew about the heartaches, and he knew about the headaches, and he knew about the hungers that go with being human. And he still knows. And Christ looks out at all of his children, all of us, every single one of us, and he cares about us all. We are his children. He created us. And he knows. He knows about our heartaches and our headaches and all the stuff that goes on. We've spoken in the past about WWJD. You remember that one? WWJD, meaning what would Jesus do? Well, the story is told of the washroom of a well-known coffee shop where someone had written on the wall, "What would Jesus do?" Later, someone else had come along and they had written, "Wash his hands." And later, another one came along and added, "And your feet. And your feet. And wash your feet." What a wonderful perspective on the nature of Jesus. The Lord Jesus Christ, he is the creator of the whole world, the whole universe. He created all of us. He created every single thing around us. And he looks after us and he cares for us. And Jesus would wash our feet. He would bow down in front of us and he would wash our feet. Jesus cares about people. He had compassion on the multitude. And to further appreciate the very depth of Jesus' caring and his compassion, we need to go back a little bit further, a few more verses further. And there we discover these words. When Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. When Jesus heard what had happened, what had just happened? Jesus had just been told that his beloved cousin John the Baptist, had been beheaded by King Herod. He had been beheaded by King Herod. How must Jesus have been feeling when he got this news? A close family member had been beheaded. And so it's no wonder that Matthew writes, he withdrew to a solitary place. He needed to grieve. He needed to be alone. He needed to be in a quiet place. But Matthew adds, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. And when he saw the large crowd, despite his own personal grief, he had compassion on them. He had compassion on them, and he healed their sick. You might have noticed in Matthew's telling of this miracle story that he does not mention the fact that it was a young boy who brought forward the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes. It was St. John who gives us that additional bit of information. But have you ever thought, what if that young boy had not been willing to share his 5 loaves and 2 fishes? And it's easy for us to think, well, Christ being Christ, and he would have found another way to feed that 5,000 or 10,000 people. But it seems to be a clear principle of faith that God works best when he has something to work with. That it doesn't have to be something great. He just needs something, even a little something, to work with, and he can work. Too often, people think that by giving their life to Christ, it's like taking $1,000 bill and laying it on his altar and saying, here is my life, Lord. Take it all. I give it all to you. The truth of the matter is, Jesus sends us back to the bank to turn that $1,000 bill into quarters. And he wants us to go through life giving away a quarter here and 50 cents there. Instead of watching a ball game, he wants us to spend a bit of time with some lonely person. Instead of sipping coffee and reading the paper, he wants us to get dressed and he wants us to go out and have fellowship with other people. Instead of playing games on a computerized gadget, he wants us to spend some time listening to the person who has problems. Even when we are tired, even when we've all got problems of our own. But these are the true moments in which the grace of God can work through us to help another human being. Now, these might not be spectacular miracles, but these are the kind of things that we can do to bring some meaning and significance, not only to our lives, but to the lives of those people who we are doing those little things for. It might be bread and fish. It might be a tiny baby hidden in the bulrushes. It might be an insignificant shepherd boy watching over his father's sheep. But God needs something or somebody to work with. In doing God's work, we very often find that it is the means by which we ourselves are fed. A man's wife had died and he was inconsolable. Every day he went to her grave and he laid flowers on it. He consulted his pastor, who counseled him for 3 months. And one day the minister saw the flowers that the man had with him at his session, and he said to the man, "Today, I don't want you to place those flowers on the grave of your wife. I want you to go down the road to the hospital, and I want you to go to each room, and I want you to give a flower to each patient until they're all gone." The next week, the man came by for his session, and he was elated. He was in an elated state, and he said, "I had a great time giving those flowers away," he said. "I couldn't believe how much those people appreciated them, just giving them a single flower. I made so many friends." And he says, "I'm sorry, Pastor, but I can't stay for my session today. I've got too much to do. I'm going out to visit with my friends." The Lord Jesus Christ has compassion for our needs. The Lord Jesus Christ is able and willing to reach out and meet all of our needs. And sometimes, just sometimes, he uses us, you and I, in small ways or in big ways, to meet the needs of others. He is able to use us in a wonderful and glorious way if we are willing to take just a little and give it to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he will use it, and with it he will perform mighty deeds, mighty miracles. Thanks be to God. Amen. For our closing hymns, we start this morning with hymn number 346, "I Am Trusting Thee, Lord Jesus."
Love to everyone.
Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all and all whom we love this day and forevermore. Amen.